Well, glory to God. God is good. Amen? Amen. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." Verse 21, "Nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." That word observation in the Greek, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's the Greek word 3907. Well, maybe I will try. Parateresis or something like that. Parateresis. It means inspection or ocular evidence, which is evidence seen by the eyes. And he's saying that the kingdom of heaven does not come with inspection or evidence seen by the eyes. It might better be said, it doesn't come from worldly knowledge obtained by your own senses or study. No, the kingdom of God comes only by revelation knowledge. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about kingdom potential that you should have within you. Amen. You are kingdom potential if in fact the kingdom of God is within you. And Jesus said here in Luke 17 that the kingdom of God is within you, did he not?
Yes.
How is it within you? How does it get there? The potential for the kingdom of heaven on earth is within his people. It's within those who have made Jesus the Lord of their lives, who have allowed him to come and do a work in their lives. It is the potential of the kingdom of God is actually in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then the kingdom of God potential lies within you. Amen?
Amen.
Within the body of Christ is the potential to save, heal, deliver, and make the world whole. Why is it within us? Because we have Jesus within us, the Savior, the healer, and the deliverer. That word save is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it means to deliver or protect, to heal, preserve, save, to do well, to be or to make whole. Amen? It's not just I'm going to heaven because I have Jesus. No, there's a whole lot more to it than that. That's like opening up a great big box of Christmas gifts and taking out just one of them and saying, "That's it, I've got my gift." No, no. You take the whole box. You take everything He give you. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God wants to implant the life of Christ in His believers, in His people. And in doing that, He wants to implant the potential of the kingdom of God within us. Amen? Matthew chapter 6 says in the prayer where Jesus told His disciples how to pray, He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, it's His will that the kingdom of heaven be manifested right here, right now, on the kingdom of earth. We're not supposed to wait until we get to heaven to have the manifestations of what's in the kingdom of heaven. No, God's will, spoke through Jesus right here in Matthew 6, says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And He told His disciples, "You pray this way. You pray this way. You manifest the kingdom of heaven in yourselves right here on earth." However, there's a vast majority of the church today doesn't believe that that's true. They just don't want to grasp it. They're still in need of fully receiving a revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. They don't understand it. They've been taught other ways. Amen? For those people who haven't received yet that full revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the words Jesus spoke in John chapter 14, verse 12, go right over the top of their head. When he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do also, because I go to the Father." They can't grasp that because they don't understand Christ in them. If they don't understand Christ in them, how can they expect to do the things he did? How can they expect to even do greater things than if they can't even do the things he did? Amen? But no, you've got to understand Christ in you first. You've got to understand Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that hope of glory that he's talking about there? The kingdom of heaven, manifested right here, right now. That's the hope of glory. Hallelujah. What is it? How come so many of us struggle trying to believe those words? You know, why can't we just grab? Because the way we've been brought up from the time we were little, we weren't taught the things of God, most of us. We were taught worldly ways, amen? Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to spend some time there tonight. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Everybody there? Colossians chapter 1. I want to begin at verse 9. And to set the stage, Paul is telling the church at Colossae that he's heard of their faith in Christ and how they've believed in Christ. And so he's telling them what he's going to do for them here in verse 9. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now whose wisdom and knowledge does he want them filled with? The world's or God's? Amen. And what kind of understanding and wisdom did he ask for? The world's? Spiritual. Amen. Trouble is, most of us have got too much of the world in us to start with. Amen. Let's go on. Verse 10. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Not increasing in the knowledge of the world. Yes, we need worldly knowledge to be able to do our day-to-day lives and our jobs. But He wants us to increase not in that. He wants us to increase in the knowledge of God. Amen? "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power." Strengthened by what power? Your own? His power. The hope of glory, Christ in you. Amen? God wants to strengthen you through Christ working in you. He wants to strengthen you through the Holy Ghost at work in your life. He wants to strengthen you with His glorious power. A power that is unmatched anywhere in the universe. A power so powerful it created the heavens and the earth. And He wants you to be strengthened with that power, people. Not some piddly power that you learn about here on the earth. His power. His glorious power. So let's read it again. "Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints." In the inheritance of the saints in light. If I'm an inheritant to something, it's mine. Amen? I don't have to do anything except receive it. It's been mine, period. Over and out. And He said He wanted to qualify us to be inheritance with the saints. Amen? "He has delivered us," verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." Oh, praise God for that. Amen? I don't know about some of you, but I know what it was like there. And it's a whole lot better now. If people that are entrapped in that darkness could only understand and see the light, they would leave it in a heartbeat. They would run to God with open arms. But see, they're blinded. They're deceived. They can't see. All they can see is the darkness they're in and the lusts of the world and the lusts of life that the evil one gives and puts in front of them. Amen. And that's why he keeps them in the dark. Amen. So they can't see. Amen. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. How many of us have sin in our life today? Anybody going to raise their hand? Mine's up, because I know there's sin there. Do I know what it is? Not necessarily. Every one of us walking the face of the earth has some sin in our lives, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. But we've been forgiven. Amen? As soon as you realize what it is, if you ask Him forgiveness from Him, it's taken care of. Amen? There's only one man ever walked the face of the earth sinless, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. Don't think that you're sinless. Amen? Verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. The firstborn. Notice He didn't say the onlyborn. The firstborn. Over all creation. You know why He's the firstborn? Because there was a whole lot more born after Him. Born of the Spirit, by the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit, by the Spirit. I follow in there somewhere. My number's in there. Amen? He is the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Aha, here we go again. All things in heaven were created by Him. All things on earth were created by Him. Do you think that earth is supposed to be a mirror image of heaven? I do. I don't think that He created two different things. I think earth is supposed to be exactly like heaven. But the only way it's going to get that way is through us. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, it doesn't matter. All things were created through Him and for Him. Who does it belong to? Who's the Him? Jesus? Christ in us? One and the same? Gee, if it was created for Him and He's in me, was it created for me also? Amen. Logic would say so. Revelation would probably also tell me that. It has. Whatever was created for and by Christ is mine. It's mine. I can have it. I can use it. I can call on it. I can put it to use in my life. Whatever I need to do with it, it's mine. Every angel in heaven is at my beck and call. Did you hear what I said? They were sent to be ministers to us. Verse 17. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, or exist, or are. Amen. And He is the head of the body, which is the church, which is me and you, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. That word preeminence means that He is number one. He is El Shaddai. He is the first thing in your life, no matter what you're doing. If He's not, you're not following Scripture. Christ is supposed to have preeminence in everything you do. Whatever you're thinking, whatever you're praying, whenever you're praising, whenever you're meditating, whenever you're doing day-to-day work, Christ is supposed to have preeminence. If you have a job to do, Christ should still have preeminence and your job should come second. Because if you give Him preeminence, He will give you what you need to do your job. whether it's strength, whether it's endurance, whether it's knowledge, whether it's wisdom, whether it's favor, if you give Him preeminence, if you make Him number one, He will give you what you need to complete your job. Would it say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things that you need will be given unto you? That's giving God preeminence, people. That's making the kingdom of God manifest in your life. Let's go on. I said we're going to camp here. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. I got to stop here. Hold your place. Turn to chapter 2. If you need to, hold your place. It might be just across the page. Turn to chapter 2. Same book, Colossians. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now we're talking about when Jesus was in His humanity form, walking as a man on the face of the earth. At that time, in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Anybody got an Amplified? Okay, I do. I'm going to read it to you. You need to hear it louder. Verse 9. For in Him the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Verse 10. And you are in Him made full, and having come to the fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you will reach full spiritual stature, and He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Verse 19, Colossians 1 said, it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and yet it's supposed to be in us also. The kingdom of God potential, the potential for the kingdom of God to manifest itself on earth, lies within each and every one of us. Trouble is, it lies dormant most of the time because we don't know how to pull it out. First, you have to realize it's there, which a lot of the church doesn't. And then once you realize it's there, then you have to figure out, how do I pull it out? How do I use it? How do I make it manifest? The hope of Christ. The hope of glory. Christ in me. That's how you manifest it. You understand Christ in you and you in Christ. You understand Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you and what He did for you. Amen? Let's go on. Verse 20. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. How many of us are reconciled to Christ? How many of us have given our life to Him in here? Every one of us, I hope. Amen? He has reconciled us to Him by His blood. 22. In the body, yet, let's back up, 21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Do you see yourself holy, righteous, and blameless? If you don't, you need to. You'll never manifest the kingdom of God in this earth if you can't see yourself holy and blameless and without reproach in God's eyes. And you are that only because Christ made us that way. That's part of recognizing the hope of glory in you, is understanding that you are now righteous, spotless, and blameless in God's eyes. Not because of anything you did or anything I did, but because of what He did. He did it all. He paid the price once for all. Amen? 23. If indeed you continue in the faith. Oh, there was a pause there, but there was a something we have to do in order to remain there. A condition. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. You see, you've got to remain steadfast in faith, believing in the gospel that you heard. You can't be moved by what goes on in the world. You can't be moved by what you hear on the news. You can't be moved by what your neighbor says. You can't be moved by what the doctor says to you if you've been to the doctor's office. No, you have to be moved by what the gospel said. Amen? And only what the gospel says. You, just because you hear that stuff doesn't mean you have to be moved by it. Don't give it place. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Pastor Duane, became a minister. Isn't that what your Bible says? That's what mine says. Yours should say Pastor Laura. Yours should say Aaron, Sister Aaron, or whatever he's called you to be. You're a minister. You're a music minister. Personalize the Word of God so that when you read it, it means something to you. It's okay. You can write in your Bible. Verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. I forsake the things of the world that I might give myself to His church. If He calls on me in the middle of the night to minister to somebody in His church, I have to be available. Because He's made me a minister of the gospel. That's a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice that I'm willing to do. And that's what you have to be willing to do, is to make a sacrifice to Him of yourself and your time in order to manifest the kingdom of God. Which is the church of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you. He gave me a ministry and a stewardship in the church so that I could help you, the rest of the body. Which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Okay, let's move on. Verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To who? To His saints. Say, it's been revealed to me. What is that mystery? Well, let's go on. To them, to His saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. See, the Gentiles don't understand it. It's a mystery to them. They can't understand what's going on in the Christian world. They can't understand why we can be so happy when the world around us looks like it's falling down on us. They don't understand that. But you see, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear. We're not moved by what we feel. We're moved by what God says in His Word. Amen? To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, if you know Christ in you, if you know Christ is in you, you have the hope of glory. And nothing else matters. We got to finish Colossians here. 28. Him we preach. Who? Who do we preach? Christ. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I, Say I. Also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Paul wrote here, Him, Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. I'm one of every man. I've been preached to by Paul. I've been warned by Paul. I've been taught by Paul. But what was it he preached to me? What was it he warned me about? And what was it he was teaching me? Over to Colossians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Have you seen Paul's face in the flesh? Then he's preaching to you people. Not just the church here. Not just Colossae. Not just Laodicea. He said, and all those who have not seen my face in the flesh. He's preaching to us. Okay, let's go on. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what he's teaching us. Okay? He's preaching to us and he's teaching us that in Christ, in God, we will find the full assurance of understanding, that we will find the knowledge of the mystery of God, and that we will find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in God. Hold your place. Put your marker in. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3. We all know the story of Solomon, right? We all know that when God came to him, verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you, Solomon? Solomon was a very young man at the time, but he had just been made king over a very large nation. I mean, when I say young man, he was actually a boy. He wasn't really even a young man yet. Amen? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. Oh, Solomon doesn't even call himself a boy. He calls himself a little child. Amen? But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or even come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon asked for not just understanding, but an understanding heart. That Hebrew word, understanding, is 8085. It's pronounced Shama, S-H-A-M-A. And it means to hear intelligently, often with the implication of paying attention. Gee, if I'm going to hear intently, don't I have to pay attention? Yes. Ah, but here's another. It also means obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to what God tells him when he tells him how to judge and discern his people. Because God might tell him something that he don't want to do. Amen? And it also means to discern or to give an ear, which is to hear. But that it's interesting that it means to hear intelligently and to perform obedience. Okay, go back to Colossians. So, here we are. God wants us to have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why did I take you over and show you Solomon? Because Solomon asked for understanding, and God appreciated what he asked from his heart. God gave him all wisdom. He also gave him riches. But I'd rather have the wisdom of God working in my life than all the riches in the world. I'll tell you why. Because if I have the wisdom of God working in my life, I have riches that are beyond the riches of this world. Okay, let's go on. Verse 4 in Colossians chapter 2. Now this I say, lest anyone should... See, he's been teaching us and preaching to us, and all of a sudden, he starts to warn us. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Be careful who you listen to and what they say to you. They may say it without meaning any harm, but if you take it and you let it get in your heart, it's going to deceive you if it's the wrong things. Verse 4 again. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. The steadfastness of your faith in Christ. The steadfastness of your faith in Christ. We have to stand steadfast in our faith, no matter what goes on around us, people. The hope of glory, Christ in us. Amen. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Don't walk in something else. Walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. How do you get rooted and built up in something? In the natural, what do? You go study. If you plant a plant, you root it, don't you? And then you feed it. And you keep the weeds out. Why do you keep the weeds away from your plant? Because eventually if you don't, they'll choke it out. So you being rooted and built up in Him, you have to be rooted in Christ. You have to be fertilized with the Word of God. And you have to keep the words out of there, which is those who would try to deceive you, so that they don't eventually choke you out, choke out the Word of God that's in you. Amen? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. See, when a plant gets established after you've transplanted it, when you transplant a plant, it takes a period of time for its roots to realize that it's no longer confined in that little tiny pot that it was a seedling in. And once it realizes that, it begins to spread its roots out and it becomes established. And once it becomes established, it begins to feed and it begins to grow. And once it grows, then it starts to produce. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to become rooted firmly in Christ and become established in Him so that we begin to grow and mature. And as we mature, we begin to bear fruit. We begin to manifest the kingdom of God in this earth. Amen? Let's read it again. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding, not just bearing fruit, but abounding in it. Much fruit. Amen? Verse 8. Beware. Another warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. How are they going to cheat you? They're going to use worldly methods. Amen? For in him... we're done. Sorry. We already read it. For in him, I got to read it again. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. My Lord Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have the Godhead residing in me and everything therein that goes with it. Amen? I have the mind of Christ. I have the strength of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. God was working in Paul in these two chapters to change what every man believed. He wanted Paul, by his preaching, his teaching, and his warnings, to preach wisdom to these people through the revelation of Christ in them. Amen? He was re-educating the people to the truth of Jesus Christ and His kingdom within them, so that they could bear a manifestation of the kingdom of God here on the earth. Acts chapter 19. I'm going to read one verse. You can go there if you want, or you can just listen. And he, Paul, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. This is after Paul's conversion, because he's Paul. And he went into the synagogue, which is a Jewish temple, and he taught the kingdom of God. He did not teach what they were used to hearing. He was re-educating them in the things of God and the kingdom of God, so that they could manifest the potential of the kingdom of God in earth. Amen? And it said he did it boldly. And he knew what he was doing. Remember, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew all the old laws. He knew all the old teachings. But now he's a new man. See, he got touched by God. He got touched by Christ. He got Christ inside him. He got the hope of glory, Christ in him, and he understood it. He got it by revelation, people. He didn't get it by somebody telling him. Amen? What we've got going on in the world, and a lot in the church, maybe not this church, but in the church, over the years, has been educated, raised up from childhood, differently from the preaching and the teaching of Christ that Paul did. Even in the church, today they're still preaching the laws. They're still teaching the laws. Now, we've been trained from our youth in something other than the gospel of the kingdom. And that's sad, but that's the way it is. Men have pursued, and I've even done it myself, vast quantities of worldly knowledge, because they think that it's going to make them something special. And so they go out and they consume all they can find, this vast knowledge, and they compile it, but it's apart from the gospel. It has nothing to do with Christ and the kingdom of God. Sadly, a lot of theologians today that are in the seminaries teaching, and who are they teaching? They're teaching the ones that are going to minister to the people. They're teaching out of this vast quantity of knowledge instead of out of the revelation of God. They're producing ministers, so-called, that some of them don't even have Christ inside them. They haven't even made Christ their Lord and Savior. What they have is the knowledge of the Scriptures based on some theologian's teachings in a seminary. They have head knowledge. They have no experiential knowledge. They haven't experienced Christ in them, the hope of glory. So they can't teach on it. They can't preach on it. They can't make the manifestation happen for the kingdom of God to manifest in their lives. So they don't teach on those Scriptures. Amen? Well, I'm here to tell you that everything written in this book is for my benefit. And I am not going to hide any Scripture in this book from anybody. I'm going to seek God until I have the revelation of what it means so that I can properly teach it. I'm not going to go to some seminary and find out what they have to say about it. I've already read too many books that say the wrong things. I'll be nice. Amen? No. See, they're not teaching out of revelation. They're teaching out of amassed knowledge that they've compiled. A lot of it is history. History's good. But history isn't going to get me revelation on the Word of God. History's going to tell me something about the time period that it was written in. I want to know what it really means. I want to know what God meant when He wrote this Word through Paul. I want to know what it's for. I want to know how to put it to work. I want to make it work in my life. And I want to be able to teach someone else to make it work in their lives. Amen? See, the world is currently caught up. They're caught up in this knowledge thing, and they're lost through false education. Now, I said earlier, education is good. We need some knowledge to be able to live in this world to do our jobs. But we have to balance it with the knowledge of God. Higher education, higher learning has become so humanized and so worldly instead of spiritual that it has trained the young people away from the truth. And it's taking these people and it's led them away from God and His ways and into the world. The universities and the college professors today, for the most part, do not know how to teach anything spiritual, even if they could. See, I said even if they could, because what you've got is you've got a government out there now that won't let them. Now, I'm going to tell you why that government won't let them. Because these professors have been deceived and used by the powers of darkness to train the teachers of the masses that produce the people that then become leaders in government, in business, in schools and universities, and even in our churches. These people are training teachers and writers and entertainers and leaders of the world. So what do these leaders and rulers do then that's been taught by these teachers that can't teach the spiritual things? They go right back and they make new rules that make it even harder to teach the spiritual things. Whose fault is it? Why? Because I'm not involved in government like I should be. The church needs to be involved in who is in government. Who is ruling us? God places the rulers in place, the government in place, but how does He do it, people? He does it through us. That's why we're having difficulty today believing the truth of the gospel. Because we were raised from here with the things of the world. We've been trained in false concepts. And those false concepts are actually deeper ingrained in you than you think they are. Every word of teaching originates from one of two sources. It either comes from the kingdom of God, or it comes from the false kingdom of Satan. There is no secular in-between education. There is no neutral area. Teaching either comes from the kingdom of God or it comes from Satan's false kingdom. Period. Whether it sounds good or not. These teachers and stuff that are teaching this secular stuff, that have amassed all these vast quantities of knowledge and stuff, they really, really think they're doing good. And I'm not saying they're bad people. They're people that have been deceived and are being used by the evil one. Okay? Is it their fault? Yes, because they're blind, because they don't see. But whose fault is it? Ours. Because we're not telling them. One spirit or the other is going to teach and train the people of the world, starting from the little ones. One spirit or the other. And I say spirit because it's either the spirit of God or it's the spirit of this world. The children of this world will eventually rule their lives based on whichever spirit taught them the most. Every communication heard, seen, or felt is a part of your teaching. It's a part of your children's teaching. The morals and the values that are taught through experience, through hearing and seeing, probably teach greater than words themselves. The activities and the conversations that go on in our homes, in our schools, in our businesses, that the younger ones are around, they teach those kids better than any classroom situation ever will. We have to be very careful how and what we say and what we do around any little one, whether they're ours or somebody else's, or whether we're in the grocery store buying groceries, or down at the super, or down at the department store buying clothes. Because anywhere there's little ones, whatever we're doing, they're watching. And that's how they learn. You think they learn in school? They do. But they learn more when they're outside of school. Collectively, the experiences of life, the things they see, the things they experience, are going to have a much more effect in training them than one Sunday school teaching a week. Think about it. We put our kids in Sunday school one class day a week. And where are they the rest of the week? They're watching us. They're watching other adults. They're in school. They're around kids of the world that aren't taught like our kids are. In Christ and His kingdom are a major, if Christ and His kingdom are a major focus in our life, and not just a little part of it here and there, we and our children will be able to eventually release the kingdom of God that's within us into this world. It doesn't come overnight. We need to preach and teach the kingdom of God in wisdom, God's wisdom, demonstrated by the power and the love that we've acquired through revelation of the Word and through revelation knowledge. And we need to live it. First John 2:24 says, "Therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, he's not talking about what you heard in the beginning at home. He's talking about what you heard in the beginning when the gospel was first preached to you. Amen? Now, we have to stay awake and stay alert so we can understand what he's talking about. We have to be renewed. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, he beseeches us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and that you do not be conformed to this world, but allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may then prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You can't prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God until your mind's been renewed. And your mind can't be renewed unless you present yourself to God and His Holy Spirit and allow Him to work in you. You can't renew your mind out of a textbook. You can renew your mind with this book and with revelation from God. Ephesians 5:25 through 27 tells us to be washed by the Word. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her. That's the church. That's us. With the washing of the water by the Word. Why does He want to do that? Verse 27. That He might then present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We get that way through the washing of the water of the Word, by the renewing of our mind through the Scriptures, to the point where we start to manifest the kingdom of God out of us. To experience the kingdom of God within you, you must willingly give your life to Him. Not a part of it. Your life. He will allow you to continue to do your day-to-day things. He understands that you're in this world and that you have to continue those things. You just don't have to be of this world. You give your life to Him and you let Him tell you then how to live it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 says, "He who finds his life will lose it." Go ahead. Keep planning your own life out. You're going to lose it. I didn't say that. The Word of God did. "And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." See, if I give my life to God, I've lost my life. It's no longer mine. But I'll find it because He'll give it back to me. His way. Amen. Philippians 3:7 says, "But what things were gained to me, I counted them lost for Christ." When I was preparing to retire, you wouldn't believe the thoughts that kept coming to me about it. How are you going to make it? What are you going to do? You're not going to make enough money to live. Even came from my lovely wife a couple of times. "Oh, ye of little faith." And yet she knows, just like I know, that for 35, almost 36 years, He has taken care of us every step of the way. And that was even before I was one of His children. He has never, ever allowed us to have lack in our house. Ever. Not once have we lacked for the necessities to continue life. Did we have everything we wanted? No. Did we have what we needed? Yes. And I said to her, "Do you not think that my God is not capable of taking care of us even after I retire? I don't know where it's going to come from. I know I've got a retirement coming. If that's not enough, He's going to have to supplement it. How's He going to do that? Well, I don't know. He might tell me to go get a part-time job. And He might not. He might have somebody pay off a bill for me. I'm all for debt cancellation if it comes from God." Amen. Amen? I don't care. It doesn't matter. "My God shall supply all of my needs according to His glory and His riches in Christ Jesus." Amen. Not mine. Not my works. And I had to come against the thoughts because I started having them. And you know, in the natural, we set figures. She set a figure and I set a figure. We didn't even tell each other what they were that we decided we needed an order per month. He hit it right in the middle. Right in the middle. We have more than enough for every good work every month. As long as we are good stewards over what He's given us. If we're bad stewards, that's our fault. But He's seen to it that we are going to have more than enough. Philippians 3:8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Christ, the hope of glory in me. Huh? I'm going to manifest the kingdom of God on this earth, people. Are you with me or are you against me? I hope you're with me. Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. See, I'm receiving a kingdom, people, that can't be shaken. So it doesn't matter what I hear. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what goes on around me. I sat through an earthquake once in the shipyard at a table with my hands joined with my brothers in prayer. And we were praying and we didn't even realize that we were having that big earthquake until the division head ran in and told us we had to leave and we just looked at him and smiled. Every one of us had perfect peace because our kingdom was not shaken.
Amen.
We knew that we were going to be all right. Now, we did abide by the authority over us, and we did break up and leave the building because they had authority over us, and we all understand authority. We may not like it sometimes. We were having good prayer. The man had authority over us. Amen. And he asked me later, he says, I don't understand you guys. He says, not a one of you was worried. And he says, the whole table was shaking underneath your hands. We had one of the big conference tables. We didn't even realize it. He goes, what? I said, we didn't even realize it. Because we were so in tune with our God that nothing around us mattered. It's like stepping into the secret place. You don't know what's going on around you. Yeah? And I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Part of it. Let brotherly love continue. Amen? Let all things be done in love. But we need to understand through revelation the kingdom of God that we have inside of us. The potential that's there. There's a tremendous potential of power that's locked up with inside each and every one of us that wants out. It wants out. He wants to manifest in this world. It's looking for an opportunity to lay hands on someone and see him healed. To lay hands on a stub leg. See a foot grow out.
Amen.
That's manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth, people.
Amen.
Miracles.
Amen.
Mighty miracles. And it's all within each and every one of us because we have all of the Godhead residing in us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father sent the power. The Holy Ghost is the power. And Jesus is the one that gave it to us. We have it. When's the last time you walked down the street and a cripple sitting on the sidewalk got up and walked? Just because you walked by him. Happened to Paul and Peter. Why? Why is it not happening with us? Because we haven't got the revelation of the kingdom of God that's within us and what it's for. It's not head knowledge. It's not knowing the scripture. It's not quoting the address you can find it in the Bible. If that was it, I'd have miracles happening every day because I can quote a lot of them. No. It's having it here. It's having it here. It's understanding it in your heart so that you don't even have to carry this with you. This is a backup. Never, never think that you don't need it, that you can go without it just because you have it here. It's a backup. It's where we get our power from. But it needs to be in your heart. It needs to be workable. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever you get in your heart, whether it's His Word or a report from a doctor, whatever's in your heart is what's going to manifest. If you let the report of a doctor manifest in your heart, you just had happen what he said was going to happen. Did you understand what I said? If a doctor gives you a bad report and you receive it here, it's over. You've got what he said you were going to get. No. Doctor says to me, blankety blank, I hear you, but I ain't receiving that. The Word of God says this. See, because whatever I allow to manifest in my heart is what I'm going to have. And I'm going to have the hope of glory, Christ in me, in my heart. I'm going to have Jesus Christ and Him crucified for me. And I'm going to count everything else dung. Because I'm going to see the manifestation of heaven here on earth in my life. I'm not going to wait until I've passed on into the great beyond to have heaven. God never intended it that way. He intended for us to have heaven on earth. Amen?